In the name and in the spirit of Jesus Christ, who is the head of our church, we welcome you to our service of online worship coming to you from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. Grace and peace to all of you, wherever you are and whoever you are along this journey we call life. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and we are gathered here in the sanctuary with our worship team and production staff, as well as special musician of the day, Marcia Hacker, and our liturgist, Jerry Fuller. Thanks for joining us in this service. I have some additional thank yous to offer this morning. Thank you for your participation and interest in our very successful annual meeting, which is conducted by way of Zoom last Sunday afternoon, and I must say it was done very successfully. So thanks to all of you, whether you were able to be a part of that Zoom or not. We know that where your hearts are, and we appreciate your love, care, support for the Mayflower Church as we enter into another year of ministry with bright hopes for the future. I'd like to personally thank Sue Mott for the special love and care offered to Jan Holcomb this week, where a medical emergency happened last Sunday morning, and Sue has spent many hours by Jan's side helping out in so many ways, along with others in our congregation. But Sue, I'd like to say thank you personally for your love and care. And for all those who helped prepare the Advent lunches, some were here this week, and we had an army also here today, and we'd like to thank all those volunteers who have helped continue this ministry of our church and the ministry of the Lansing areas. We support Advent House and remember and help those who might not have a good meal to eat. Thank you once again, and may God bless each of those lunches and, of course, the people who consume them. And then I'd like to thank Kim Finneson for his work in the social hall. We've been working on the social hall for 2-3 weeks, getting it painted and prepared for when we are gathered back together. And Kim put in some light switches this week, and it's starting to look really nice in the social hall. We trust that it won't be too long until all of us will be able to gather and be a part of what we do here at Mayflower Church. We have, I think, earlier announced that there would be an Ash Wednesday service in the month of February. Because of the circumstances, we will not have the Ash Wednesday service, but we will keep that date in mind as we begin the very important season of Lent coming up in the middle of February. And we are thankful that several members of our congregation and friends of Mayflower have been able to get the vaccine. We pray and trust that the vaccine distribution will continue. God be with us as we look forward to that day when we can physically gather. But today we are spiritually gathered. And now it is time to worship God. Thank you.
Welcome to worship, where we gather online but are together in spirit. At Mayflower, we preach a dangerous message of love, openness, acceptance, and inclusion with a non-judgmental spirit and attitude. What's dangerous about this? It is the kind of message that got Jesus in trouble. We don't expect trouble today, but we believe Jesus when he said that love for God and love for each other were the summation of the law and on which all else hangs. In our worship today, we hope all of you experience God's love, and it is our desire to find ways to express that same love to you unconditionally, wherever you are and whoever you are. Thanks be to God. Gracious God and loving Lord, we dedicate this worship time to you. We want to praise your name and declare your mighty works among us. We thank you for sustaining and guiding us through this pandemic and for helping us continue to get the message of love and redemption out. We thank you for dedicated volunteers, faithful staff, and the kindness and generosity of so many. In the continuation of this service, bless us with your presence and give us all the courage to love extravagantly and unselfishly, following in the footsteps of Christ, who has gone before, who is the head of our church, and whose name we pray. Amen.
And see God's glory. us hear what you will say. When we find it hard to worship, Spirit, come to show.
Time to pray. Gracious God and loving Lord, as a pastor, I'd like to thank you for the loving support of so many listening today who give witness to the effectiveness and efficacy of the preaching and proclamation of the gospel. Thank you for the record of Scripture that gives inspiration to the idea that your prophetic word never comes back in a void. Help us to realize that there is still a great, even greater need for the world to hear good news. And indeed, how shall one hear and believe if they have not heard? And how are we to proclaim unless we have been sent? So thank you, Lord, for the call upon our lives, the call to preach, the call to care, the call to serve, and the call to love. May we see that call in play as we pray for the world, our nation, our community, and all of its leaders. I pray especially for the rapid delivery of the vaccine and for those within our congregation who have yet to receive it. I pray for preachers of the gospel everywhere around the world who also stand right now behind the holy desk to give witness to the love of God for the world and for each of our worlds. And in our world today, we pray for Jan Holcomb and the loving care that she has received by the medical personnel and people here at Mayflower. Be with her in her rehab. Thank you for that special care given to her by Sue. I pray for Vance Vassallo, just down the hall from Jan, who will be coming home to the Finnesons on Wednesday. Be with all of them as Vance continues to recover. We pray for Paula Kay, Marcia's sister, thankful that her COVID symptoms have been mild so treatment can continue effectively for her cancer. Be with Mom and Dad, Loyal and Arlene Dean, in the very sunset of their lives, and for their family, including Deanne, in the support and care so desperately needed at this time. We pray for Myron Lovey Savisky, Craig Young's brother-in-law, who is recovering from knee surgery. For these and many other prayers, we offer our earnest pleas for answers, always submitting to the will of God in all things, just like our Lord Jesus did. We thank you for personal prayer and for the corporate prayers. We pray together as your people, and we pray now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. It is a sobering thing to speak on behalf of the Lord. It is also a sobering thing when people listen and take heed. Hear now these words. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, if I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more or ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, they are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words of the prophet shall speak in my name. I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Let's pray. Lord, the older I get, the more I realize that unconditional, accepting, non-judgmental love is a dangerous thing, even when it is expressed behind the holy desk. Help me and all of us to that end, we pray. Amen. If you didn't catch it, that might have been something that I would just mention now. That was Moses speaking on behalf of the Lord. In the first five books of the Bible, which are known as the Pentateuch, which is foundational both to Christianity and Judaism, there is a curious mixture of the fascinating, riveting, confusing, inspiring, and sometimes bizarre stories. Those inspiring stories being the ones most sermons in the Pentateuch come from. Today's lectionary reading is not particularly inspiring in and of itself, so it is likely that my sermon will not be very inspiring, but I'm going to preach anyway. The book of Deuteronomy is the last of the first five books of the Bible. The central figure and the voice we heard this morning was that of Moses, the most prominent prophet in all of Israel's history. Against that backdrop are some of the more troubling aspects of his portrayal in the Scriptures. He killed an Egyptian for beating a Hebrew. He was angry with his military officers for not killing males and women who slept with them in a narrative found in Numbers 31. So he ordered them killed. In a bizarre episode recorded upon his return to Egypt to plead with Pharaoh for the release of his people, God, it says, tried to kill Moses. His life was spared when his wife Zipporah performed circumcision on their son and touched Moses' feet with the foreskin, then declared, "Truly, you are a bridegroom of blood to me." Then the Lord left him alone. One of the most puzzling three verses in all of the Bible. Regardless, Moses is regarded as the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, miraculously delivered from death as an infant. And after having been raised as an Egyptian in the royal family, he eventually led his people out of bondage and toward the land God had promised the people and delivered the law to the children of Israel. In the preceding narrative to today's reading, there is a careful delineation of the political and religious responsibilities of leadership, including kings, judges, priests, and prophets. The most controversial of these by far were the prophets. Why? Because they did not inherit their position by birthright or tribal affiliation. They came on the scene suddenly, spontaneously breaking in, speaking knowledge and truth from God alone. At least that is the presupposition. Prophets presented themselves as the very mouth of God to speak to Israel. That is a very dangerous and precarious occupation, as witnessed by the penalty imposed upon a false prophet by God. And that penalty is death. Preaching is dangerous. The obvious connection is the relationship we preachers have to prophets. Now, there are many priestly duties assigned to ministers, like performing weddings and funerals, planning worship services, administering the sacraments, attending committee meetings, and other functions generally assigned to the minister. But there is one place where the preacher assumes the prophetic office, and it is right where I'm standing now. You might be interested to know that I have a contract with the Mayflower Church, which defines my responsibilities and my role as shepherd pastor. But the most amazing part of that contract is something called the freedom of the pulpit. Essentially, it acknowledges the prophetic role and importance of one who speaks for God. My contract does not allow me to dictate the business affairs of the church any more than any other member can dictate how the church is to be, how church business is to be conducted, along with the temporal affairs of the church. But when it comes to preaching, the contract of agreement between the officers of Mayflower Church and me does not allow for members to dictate or decide what it is that shall be preached from this pulpit, and that is an amazing responsibility. Now, this does not mean a preacher in this pulpit is ever above criticism or scrutiny, but the freedom of the one who assumes the prophetic role is considered as one who speaks for God. Now, make no mistake about it. When I was interviewed for the position as pastor at Mayflower, I was quizzed about my philosophy and theology, especially in preaching, very thoroughly. How I crafted sermons, how the Bible was to be used, what style of preaching I would employ, and my use of the lectionary was all under intense scrutiny, not in any critical way, but it was thoroughly discussed. I have always appreciated that time, and I think that interview lasted 2.5 hours, my wife at my side, and that led to the decision to hire me as a pastor and for me to enthusiastically accept. This scrutiny is important because there is incredible power in the pulpit. Many television preachers and preachers of all stripes have used this power to enrich themselves, exercise power and control over people's lives, and sometimes, in the most extreme cases, cause people to commit suicide. Remember Jim Jones? He was a pastor, very well thought of pastor in the San Francisco Bay Area. Preaching is dangerous. I discovered the power of the pulpit several times in my younger years. Two of them come to mind. I assumed the pastor of the Woodside Community Church in Fillmore, Illinois, when I was just 19 years old. I had a lot to learn, and in some ways I had no idea what I was doing. But when I stood in the pulpit, people listened and genuinely considered my words as though they came from God. It was heartwarming. But it was very dangerous indeed when the power of the pulpit has the potential to dramatically affect and sometimes alter people's lives, as well as their relationship to God and the church. Preaching is dangerous. Another reminder was a little later in my ministry when the denomination in which I was serving encouraged us as pastors to conduct special services for healing, using biblical injunctions to pray for healing by the laying on of hands. At the close of a worship service in the Methodist tradition using the theme of healing, I invited people to the front to come to the altar so that I could lay hands on each and pray a prayer for the healing of bodies, minds, and spirits. Many came. When people were leaving the church that day, one woman who came forward who was not a member of the church said to me, "You healed me today." I quickly reminded her that if she was healed, it was not me, but God who had healed her. She insisted otherwise, but that frightened me. Preaching is dangerous. There are several things we can glean from the readings of the Old Testament and the writings and activities of the prophets and apply to modern day preaching when the prophetic voice is as important as ever. Remember, the prophetic voice was always disturbing to those whose main goal was to preserve the status quo. The spontaneous, uncontrolled feature of prophetic activity was used as a powerful instrument of change and renewal, and it was always a danger to the religious and political conformity of those that wanted political and religious conformity and orthodoxy. The word for prophet means mouthpiece or spokesperson, and the obvious question regards the qualifications and credentials of a prophet. In the days of Moses, God-given gifts and connection to the divine were more important than education and experience. The gifts God gives to one who is called to speak for God are something to be treated with great care and humility. When my gifts for pastoral ministry were first identified as a teenager, it was a little frightening because I wasn't sure if God was going to call me into the ministry, and if so, if I would answer that call, because I knew that preaching is dangerous. Moses recognized his leadership was coming to an end, and that's the backdrop of the reading that Deanne read today. He was helping the people decide how a new prophet would be accepted and identified. Certainly, in the context of the ancient setting, a litmus test was whether future events predicted came true. In the context of our modern preaching, the prophetic understanding would be more in the realm of interpreting events rather than predicting them. In reality, those two things go hand in hand. I have been inspired by the great preacher at the Riverside Church in New York who pastored decades ago, Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick, who said that he preached with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. For me, the honest prophetic voice would not intentionally avoid events like our country has been through with the death of people like George Floyd, the Me Too movement, the war in Afghanistan, the Capitol insurrection, impeachment trials, and Proud Boy demonstrations, among many other things. I can't imagine Jesus avoiding these things either. Now, I am not Jesus, nor am I Moses, but this text identifies a qualification for a prophet. He or she must be like Moses. That is not to emulate his gender, his clan, or his tribe. Rather, his personal example. And what was his personal example? First, he was humble. In Numbers 12:3, we read, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more so than anyone else on the face of the earth." We preachers need good examples to follow. Whose example do we follow? Preaching is dangerous. The prophetic voice appointed by God was not to reveal what humans wanted to know, but rather what God wanted to reveal. This was true for all the prophets who were not false prophets in the Bible. Many people have described their search for a church by seeking a minister and church whose message aligns with their beliefs. That being the case, it doesn't seem to me to be much prophetic activity taking place when a church and all the people agree with the minister. Just so you know, and I've thought a lot about this, and while I don't sit down to prepare sermons in order to create disagreement, I do feel a prophetic obligation to help all of us, myself included, to think differently, challenge the status quo, and ask God to change us. Could we be so audacious to ask God to help us change the world? My experience at Mayflower, standing behind this sacred desk every week, has changed me in the last 3.5 years. Just ask my wife. If in some small measure it hasn't done a little of the same for you, I consider myself a failure. preaching is dangerous. Another characteristic of Moses was his ability to share the Spirit and the responsibility God had placed upon him. In Numbers 11, 70 elders had been gathered by Moses so they could help him bear the burdens of the people, the Scripture tells us. Two of the men continued by prophesying in the camp, which created alarm, and it was reported to Moses, and he said, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them." I'm here to tell you that I miss Pastor Linda, and we also miss Jacob. I miss Jacob, who likely will not be able to be with us anymore. But I believe God, in whatever way God chooses, will send us more prophetic voices, along with the prophetic voices in Mayflower Church, who can help bear the burdens of the people and preach the prophetic word of God. Preaching is dangerous. Moses had a passion for the ministry of reconciliation. In one episode, when God wanted, curiously enough, to kill the Israelites for the creation of the idol of the golden calf, Moses interceded on behalf of the people, and what do you know, God relented. A prophetic voice is always on the side of the people whom he or she serves, always working to reconcile each to the other and all to God. When Jesus appeared, his whole ministry was reconciling the most vile of sinners to a loving God of grace and mercy. Look what happened to Jesus. Preaching is dangerous. Moses had his weaknesses for sure. He had difficulty early in his career failing to delegate responsibilities. And he was not allowed to enter the promised land because of a lack of trust, as we are told in Numbers 20. A chosen leader who sacrificed all to lead his people out of bondage and into the promised land. Hard work, perseverance, patience, and negotiating with God on behalf of stubborn, wayward, and complaining people. And he died looking into the promised land on Mount Nebo, but not able to experience it for himself. Preaching is dangerous. Perhaps the most compelling event in Moses' life, and likely his best qualification for the prophetic office, was his intimate connection with God. When the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush, this encounter gave him the perspective, the motivation, and the purpose to become the spokesperson and the mouthpiece for God. It did not assure him of an easy life. It didn't guarantee him entry into the land that God had promised. It certainly didn't make him a perfect person. But without God's spokespersons, who of us would have a future with God? A prophet, a preacher, needs regular encounters with God. It may not be a burning bush, but in order to preach and share and love effectively, there needs to be a burning and yearning in the soul. So, I appreciate your prayers and support for the success of the reconciling, redeeming, laborious, yet glorious and always rewarding work of speaking for and on behalf of God. So help me, God. I couldn't do it without you. I intend, by the grace of God, to continue as God gives me strength. Preaching is rewarding. Thanks be to God.
Wing my wings.
Indeed, my heart does overflow in kindling thought and glowing word, thy love to tell, thy praise to show. Go in peace. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide, uphold you. With his shape securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet.
As we say goodbye today, I'm reminded of something that happened to me about 13 years ago. I took a bicycle ride from the summit of Lookout Pass, right on the border between Idaho and Montana, down a railroad trail for 20 miles, and the very first thing that trail went through was a long tunnel, almost 2 miles long, and it took a bend in it. So riding with a little light in my bicycle, and the water dripping around in the old railroad tunnel, I rode and rode and rode, and I wondered when I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I finally saw it. And perhaps as the vaccine is becoming more and more available, it brightens our hopes to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And folks, that light is you. God be with you until we meet again. Goodbye.